Good morning.
This too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Out of all the rights that you have, which one do you appreciate or value the most? Freedom has to be toward the top of the list, if not even on the top. Freedom to travel, to vote, from addictions, to practice our religion. Now, if all these earthly freedoms were taken away from us, there is one freedom that still remains. Our scriptures for this Reformation Sunday remind us of what that freedom is. So as we dwell on that, God bless us in our worship of Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For those visiting, I direct your attention as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today to the announcement on the bottom of page 2. Let us now turn our attention to page 3 as we begin with the invocation. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn our attention now to hymn 390, and we'll sing the verses as noted in our worship bulletin. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Our first scripture reading as we celebrate the Reformation comes to us from the book of Daniel, the sixth chapter. The world, it emphasizes, is not friendly toward Christians. This is no surprise. And so may the Lord God grant you and me a faith like He did to Daniel. We hear these words. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The word of our Lord. We turn our attention to Psalm 46. And on this Reformation 500 anniversary, what a beautiful psalm to fix on, as God is indeed our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength.
And in
therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way,
and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam,
and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy place where the Most High dwells.
God is within her. She will not fall.
God will help her in the great day.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. We are encouraged to live free in and through Christ. And so thanks be to God for his gift of faith worked in us. This encouragement from Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This is the word of our Lord. Awesome words. Thank you, choir. Please rise for the gospel reading. On this Sunday, we also celebrate the first Sunday of end time, and that end time theme fits well with the Reformation message and the words of our Lord in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10. The question he poses before us, and then also answers, is this: how do you react when people say they don't like you on account of your faith? We hear these words of our Lord: I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our sermon hymn, hymn 200.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, our refuge and strength. And this he gives to us through his Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn back our attention to the epistle reading, the second lesson, where we hear once again from Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Do not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow recipients of the gifts the Lord God has passed down to us through the Reformation. The Reformation that took place 500 years ago. What did Martin Luther, not MLK, hope to accomplish by nailing his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, 500 years ago? Can you imagine what Luther could have and would have done if Facebook was around in his day? Can you also imagine if Luther would have remained stuck in the rut that the church was in at that time and was not moved by the grace of God to shake things up? We might still be lost in our work righteousness. Luther was longing for something every human being longs for at one point or another, and that is freedom. In his case, it was freedom from a guilt-ridden conscience. Now, for those of us familiar with this Luther, recall all he went through in an attempt to find such freedom. He literally tortured himself. But he was not alone in doing this, but to no avail. His conscience still beat him up. Freedom, the physical and or the spiritual, is a gift not all people in this world are privileged to have. One can be physically free and yet not be free spiritually. One can be spiritually free and while not free physically, can still have joy in this life. For joy is not the same as being happy. Now, ideally, one can be physically free and at the same time spiritually free. Those of us who live in the U.S. are some of those who are privileged in this way. And this is one of the reasons why we want others to have what we have by the grace of God. We recognize that our freedoms have come at a high price. And we also recognize that freedom can and could easily slip away from us at any moment. The Apostle Paul came to appreciate the gift of freedom. As he was a Roman citizen, which came with freedoms in his day, not every person, especially non-Romans, were privy to. But the citizenship and the freedoms that came with it, that he came to prize the most, was the one that came from God by grace through faith. And because of what he came to appreciate, his encouragement to the Christians in Galatia, modern-day Turkey area, is the same much-needed encouragement you and I still need in this 21st century. The encouragement is this: hold fast to your freedom. The freedom he is referring to is a freedom rooted in grace. And this freedom does have a purpose, and that purpose is a freedom driven to love. The Apostle Paul, by God's guiding hand, did not mince words with the readers then and now. A similar urgency fueled Martin Luther in the 1500s as well. And it is to be no different for you and me today. How often do we say something to the effect, "How time flies," or "I was going to get to that, but time got away from me"? We brothers and sisters in Christ, cannot afford to let time get away from us when it comes to this aspect of life. Thus, the strong encouragement to stand firm or hold fast to our freedoms in and through Christ Jesus, and our need to let others in on this same freedom. Paul grew up knowing the Old Testament scripture. He was a devout Jew, careful to follow the law and the tradition set before him. But he was not motivated in doing such by saving faith. He rather was thinking, if I live in such a way, then God will be pleased. And in this way, then I can earn my salvation. So who really needs a Savior? Luther grew up in a church that put more emphasis on what one has to do to appease God's wrath than on the fact that his wrath already has been appeased by God's own Son. Instead of living with and in freedom, both of these men were living guilt-driven lives. So once the Holy Spirit enlightened them with the truth recorded in the Holy Scriptures, we can appreciate their urgency in wanting to let others in on this freedom message. People today, you and me included, need to hear their plea. Because by nature, even while we are in the womb, we are trapped in sin and so are under the wrath of God. By nature, we think we can fix this. That is, if we even care to fix this. I will just do some good things and all will be okay. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Just like Facebook does not work by just putting some pictures on the wall of your house. The book of Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to what? Death. Earning salvation may seem right to us, but it is so far from the truth, from reality. Who says? God does. And he ought to know because he wrote the book. He tells us through Paul, mark my words. In other words, look, listen up. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Wow. Can God make it any clearer? He can and he does. For example, in Romans 3, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And just, dear friends, so that we are not with any doubt when it comes to this matter, Ephesians 2 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Any attempt, therefore, to earn salvation is the opposite of freedom. Those who advocate a work-based salvation, along with those who say you can come to Jesus by your own decision, are robbing God of the glory that belongs to him and him alone. Such is a slap in the face to God. Hold fast, rather. We are encouraged to the freedom that we have in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a freedom we cannot and do not have to earn. It is a freedom that comes to us solely by God's grace. A grace described as his undeserved love, John 3:16 so beautifully expounds on. Hold fast to this freedom, which has its roots in grace. Grace clearly shown in the giving of God's own Son to serve as our substitute on the cross you and I deserve to be on, since it was, after all, your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world that put him in that position in the first place. This is why we can hear Paul's urgency, can't we? When he says, stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is sad enough and maybe even hard enough to fathom that we have people in our own area and throughout the world who are not even aware of this freedom. And yet it is tragic for those of us who have had a taste of it and then either walked away from it or have left it for a work-based salvation, thinking again that we on our own can and have to earn God's favor, a favor that already has been earned for us by God through his Son Jesus. Luther had similar urgency as he expressed and witnessed firsthand people falling for the lies of men, even men of God, who, for example, claimed purchase of a piece of paper was necessary for salvation. People were being told that they were to call on dead people as another way to help them with their issues. Oh, the burden people keep on themselves when eyes of faith are taken off of Christ and what he has done, and rather put on what we have to do. Do you know of anyone who has such a burden? Maybe they are even unaware of it. One word, urgency. And a follow-up to that word, speak the truth in love. While at the same time holding on to and finding joy in your own Jesus' blood-bought freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross to take the shackles off of us. He, through the Holy Spirit, gives us freedom. Let us then not be the ones who put those shackles back on by holding on to traditions, for example, that perhaps once were useful, but now have become stumbling blocks to help people keep their eyes of faith fixed and focused on Jesus. The Scriptures make it clear that we stand forgiven and free before God, not by anything we have done or could do, but simply by what Jesus Christ has done. So let us be careful not to burden the conscience of one another by giving the impression that there is only one way to worship and honor God when God himself does not make that claim. The Jews insisted on circumcision and obeying the law, in particular their own man-made laws, laws which the leaders themselves in that day did not keep and thus wrongly burdened the consciences of people. It was not the act of circumcision that saved people. Rather, it is what it represented that was key. Insisting on human worship rites and or condemning events we personally may not be comfortable with but are not forbidden in Scripture, or how people dress or act outside of the Scriptures, can cause people to lose the very freedom Christ Jesus came to gain for them and us all. Now, this is not to say that the church ought to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are many solid traditions and rites meant to keep the freedoms Jesus gained for us. And while we treasure such rites and utilize man-made traditions, God, always help us be aware of the fact that perhaps what once was a good vehicle may not be such today. The Lord, through Paul, was not hung up on a particular tradition as much as he was addressing the attitude behind the use of tradition in the case of our text, circumcision. And at the time of Luther, the Mass. And in our own day, we could say the traditions we are familiar with when it comes to worship. When we stand, when we sit, for example, we are free to worship the way we do currently. And we are free to worship as believers described in Psalm 150 did, with a variety of instruments. The goal then and the goal now is the same. And that is to hold fast to our freedom, a freedom rooted in grace and received through faith. A faith in no one else but Jesus and Him alone. Now, this faith and freedom rooted in grace also is a freedom and faith driven to love. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, to love one another as He has loved us. Do you think people get a positive or negative vibe on God by how we talk and observing how we act? Both Paul and Luther made it clear by God's doing that while we are saved by grace through faith, good works are still necessary for us to do. People get to find out what is in our heart by how we talk and by how we act, especially in public settings. Romans 10 points out, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." And also Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds," for what purpose? "And praise your Father in heaven." Our good works do have a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and at the same time to show people the freedom that we have in and through Christ Jesus and to direct others to such freedom. After all, we are God's walking and talking billboards. And so our prayer in light of this, dear friends, is that God help us make the most of the opportunities He puts before us. Paul therefore encourages us, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. God has told us that it is impossible to please Him without faith. Faith puts us in a position then to not only be of benefit to others, but most importantly, to please our God. The Bible also points out in connection to this thought that God loves a cheerful giver. Another word for cheerful is generous or joy-filled. This applies not just to our thank offerings meant to support local and synod-wide ministries. It also comes to our time and our talents. If we know of someone who is missing from worship, in love, go and encourage that person. If we know of someone who is physically or emotionally hurting, in love, go and pray with that person. We look for ways to be generous, not because we have to, but because we have been given the freedom to do so. And so, people of God, hold on, hold fast to this freedom, a freedom rooted in grace and a freedom driven to love. This is not just good Reformation encouragement, but lifelong encouragement. And remember, too, that nothing and no one can separate us from such freedom. Now, this is not to say that everything in our life is going to make us happy, but the reason for our joy remains intact. Why and how can we be so confident in this? Scripture makes it clear. Christ has set us free. Pass this truth on. That is what Luther was hoping to gain by pounding his statements into that church door 500 years ago. What is going to be your lasting legacy? Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We pray, Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 9. We pray, Lord, our refuge and strength, we gather to worship and praise you for your ongoing work of reformation in your church.
Lord, alone be glory.
By your grace, you sent your Spirit to call us to repentance. Your powerful gospel rescued us from rebellion and fills us with faith in you, the true and living God. In these last days, Lord Jesus Christ, protect your little flock. We are like sheep living among fierce wolves. Satan stalks us like a roaring lion. Defend us from false teachers who twist your word to satisfy the latest longing. We remember the faithful confessors of this and former generations who have passed down to us your word of truth. Great physician of body and soul, we commend our sisters Elaine Harmel, Hilma Wilcott, and Cassie Jordan, along with our brothers Terry Jackson, David Hogan, Stan Coleman, and our teacher Brett Mengel, who was taken ill while taking classes for credit in Florida, to your care for healing of body as you will for them, and strengthening of the faith you have given to them, a faith rooted in your grace, and thus enables them and their families to have confidence in you during both the ups and downs of life. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. Marriage is a gift from you, Lord, and ought to be lived by us as a reflection of your grace toward us. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst, including the marriage of Hal and Audrey Tritch, who are able to celebrate 65 years together. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. In thanksgiving for the many and amazing blessings restored to your church through the Reformation, we now commit ourselves to your care.
Be our mighty fortress, our trusty shield, and our hope. Amen.
Please stand as we continue with the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has called us to be his own, so that we may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
You take away.
give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Good to be in God's house with you this morning as we were reminded of the freedom that we have in Jesus our Savior. A few highlights to share with you this morning. We encourage everybody to stick around for Sunday school and Bible class. A couple notes about Bible class. The Luther study that has been taking place in the gym is going to take place in the Luther room this morning. Luther in the Luther room. And then Mrs. Bengel's mom study is going to be canceled today. So the ladies that normally go to the mom study might want to join one of the other classes this morning. Everybody's invited to the Reformation worship service this afternoon at 4 o'clock, an opportunity to get together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Northern California and even Nevada and praise Jesus for the good news of the Reformation, and then we'll follow that up with a fun potluck fellowship meal in the gym, some really good food. So everybody's encouraged to come back this afternoon at 4 o'clock. A couple announcements to share related to our school. In his sermon, Pastor Colander mentioned being walking billboards for Jesus with our words and our actions. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to be a walking billboard for St. Mark's with some St. Mark's Lutheran School spirit wear. So these orders can be found at the school counter in the lobby. You got a couple weeks to think about it. They're due on November 10th, and we've got a wide collection of t-shirts, sweatshirts, fleeces, jackets, caps, bags, some other things that are fun. But it's an opportunity to show your pride in our school, so I'd encourage you to consider purchasing some spirit wear. Also this morning, I'd like to share an opportunity to support our school through a new program called SCRIP. St. Mark's had a SCRIP program in years gone by. This is new and revitalized and better than ever. Long story short, SCRIP is an adjustment to your purchasing habits by purchasing gift cards through SCRIP, let's say Walmart, for example, and then St. Mark's receives a percentage back on your purchase. So let's say you buy a $100 Walmart gift card, and the amount of give back to St. Mark's is 2.5%. St. Mark's would get $2.50. You'd pay the $100 as usual, shop at Walmart with your gift card. Everything's pretty much the same. Instead, you're using a credit card or you're using a gift card instead of a credit card or paying for cash, but it's helping St. Mark's. And if we really get some momentum behind that, it can mean a lot of support for our school. So we're going to have Kelly Roush at a table in the lobby this morning, and if you'd like to learn more about SCRIP, she's happy to help you with that. And again, it might be an opportunity for you to support our school through participation in that program. Last announcement this morning, I direct your attention to the screens. We'll share with you an update of some of the fun we've been having at our school in October.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning. Sunday school students, I'll race you over to the chapel for opening sing-along. And the rest of you, may Jesus bless you as you live in his freedom this week. Thank you.